This is a podcast from RNIB's Insight Radio.
It's time for us to go transatlantic to the headquarters of the National Federation of the Blind in the United States. Our regular catch-up with Chris Danielson to find out some of the latest big stories over there in the US. Chris, thank you for joining us.
Thank you again for having us.
Now, I'm glad to see, Chris, and to hear that you've survived the snowstorms, which we all saw here on the news in the UK. That must have been unbelievable, forgetting about as a blind person.
You know, it really was. And especially since I'm originally from South Carolina, which doesn't get much snow at all. And really, Baltimore doesn't get much snow at all. And so as a blind person trying to navigate 2 feet of snow, really for the first time in my life, it was really interesting, is the most polite word for it. You know, you can't use your cane in the way that you normally would to feel for curbs and sidewalks and different things, because all of those things are buried. You know, unless you walk with a snow shovel in one hand and a cane in the other, you're really not going to be able to find your usual landmarks. And of course, nobody's out on the streets driving, so there's no traffic. So if you're trying to get anywhere in that much snow, it's really amazing. And there were snow banks that were so huge that a friend of mine who is blind actually climbed up on top of a car without realizing it, and didn't realize it until he sort of slid down the other side of it and, you know, brushed some of the snow off and realized that there was actually a car under there. So that's
wow.
How much snow we had.
Unbelievable.
It was really quite amazing.
But here you are in one piece, and we've got a couple of topics we're going to be discussing, Chris. Now, we do have some good news on a legal front, which we will look at, but I'd like just to start by looking back at the recent Washington seminars. So perhaps just remind us what they are and how it all went.
Right. So we had our annual Washington seminar at the end of January, right in the midst of the blizzard. And although we had the blizzard, and although quite a number of people had substantial difficulty in getting to our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., we did have a successful Washington seminar. We probably had maybe a little over a half the numbers that we normally have. But nonetheless, we were very determined, and fortunately, the area around the Capitol was very quickly cleared of most of the snow. And, you know, surprisingly enough, a lot of members of Congress were in, or their staffs were in. And because the federal government was officially closed, they had a lot of time to meet with us. A lot of our members were able to get in and see their members of Congress and talk about the issues that we're concerned about, which, of course, are eliminating the continued payment of subminimum wages to workers with disabilities, making sure that blind people are going to have access to accessible educational materials, you know, a couple of other matters that we brought to the attention of our members of Congress. So it was very successful. We had to reschedule things and juggle them around. And, you know, people had to reschedule their appointments with members of Congress sometimes, but we managed to make it all work. You know, that's just the spirit that we have in the National Federation of the Blind.
And some good feedback then. Quite a successful seminar despite the weather issues.
Yes, absolutely. We've gotten very positive feedback from members of Congress on our initiatives, and we're already starting to see some momentum from the Washington seminar in getting some of the legislation that we would like to see passed moved forward. So we're very excited.
Great. Now, you mentioned, Chris, about the payment of subminimum wages to persons with disabilities. This is an item we have talked about over the past couple of years because you've been trying to get legislation looked at in the political corridors. But you do have some news, some good news on that front.
Yes, we do. It's kind of limited news, but it really highlights an aspect of this problem that we've been talking about for a long time. Just to briefly recap for your listeners, in the United States, it is legal for certain entities, if they apply for a special certificate from our Department of Labor, to actually pay workers with disabilities less than our federal minimum wage or the state minimum wage or the prevailing wage for the type of work they're doing, which means that in some cases, workers with disabilities are literally earning pennies per hour. And the supposed justification of this is both that the work helps people with disabilities train for more competitive work, which it rarely does. Most people tend to remain in these sheltered workshops, we call them, all their lives, and that at any rate, they are at least paid a commensurate wage based on their productivity. Well, we actually took one of the workshops, one in Seneca, Ohio, for review before an administrative law judge in the Department of Labor and said, you know, even if you apply this exemption as it's supposed to be applied, these three workers that we represent are not being paid as they should be. And the judge actually looked at the methods that are used to determine the so-called commensurate wage, which is basically to give the workers a time test and see how fast they do a particular job as compared to workers who supposedly don't have any disabilities or limitations. And he said, you know, these numbers are all over the place. They're completely arbitrary. The particular workshop that we brought up for review had claimed that the ability of a so-called able-bodied worker to do this job, that the standard number of items that they could complete in this job had increased by 100% within, you know, 2 years' time. So what they were doing was they were jacking up the standards so that the workers with disabilities compared unfavorably and then could actually be paid less. And the administrative law judge basically said, look, there's no way. There's no way that the productivity of non-disabled workers changed by this much in that amount of time. It's simply not possible. And furthermore, he ruled that for the kind of work they're doing, these workers aren't in fact disabled. What they were doing essentially was assembling bundles of samples of flooring so that the home builders and construction companies could compare the samples and, you know, sell flooring to their customers. And, you know, there was an assembly line to put these sample packs together. And the judge said, you know, these people, they may have some slight intellectual disabilities or they may have vision problems, but they're not actually for this type of work because they can all do this kind of manual labor without any problems. They don't actually even have disabilities within the meaning of the law. So going forward, he ruled that this workshop has to pay these workers at least the minimum wage.
Some good news. Although you say, Chris, it's a small victory. This is one particular workshop. It really bodes well for having the law completely changed because it is archaic, it is unfair, and it doesn't do anything to progress the rights of people with disabilities in any area, never mind employment.
Well, exactly. And the reason that it's going to advance our agenda to get rid of this practice, Alan, is that the way that this workshop was doing business just illustrates all the problems with the system that currently exist. I mean, you and I know that it's fundamentally unfair and fundamentally discriminatory and fundamentally immoral even. You know, to some people, it seems to be justified by the argument, not the fact, because it's not a fact, but by the argument that people with disabilities can't get competitive employment and, you know, aren't as productive as other people. And this judge saw right through all that and said, you know, in fact, these workers are as productive as other workers doing this same work. This whole process of saying that they aren't productive is fundamentally arbitrary. So this workshop has to stop it. And his very thoroughly reasoned order, and fortunately it's a written order that we can share, really demonstrates all the flaws in the system.
Chris, some great news there. We are out of time once again, but if anyone would like to follow the work of the NFB or perhaps look at the services a bit more, is there a way they can get in touch with you, Chris?
Absolutely. There are several ways. They can visit our website, which is www.nfb.org. They can follow us on social media by searching for the National Federation of the Blind on Facebook or following NFB_voice on Twitter. And if they have questions, they can just send us an email to the address nfb@nfb.org.
Chris Danielson, thank you for speaking with us on Insight Radio.
Thank you for having us again, Alan. Always a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from RNIB's Insight Radio. For more podcasts, check out insightradio.co.uk.